You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYN ads.com.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
It all started with mom. She's always had a way of making everyday moments feel like an adventure. So this Mother's Day, Kate Spade New York is here to help you thank mom and all the mother figures in your life. From our newest arrivals like springy dragonfly adorned handbags and jewelry to gifts under $100 to the bestsellers on mom's most wanted list, there's something for everyone. Maybe you can even treat yourself too. Shop the Mother's Day gift guide at katespade.com.
Hello and welcome to episode 129.
Season 6, episode 5.
Of Two Mr. P's in a Podcast with me, Mr. P.
And the other Mr. P.
Welcome back to another episode. We hope you are well and surviving November. We're halfway through. 15th of November is a significant date in my calendar. Do you know why?
I think I do know why, yeah.
Go on.
Oh, you want me to say?
Yeah.
Was it the... First time you found out that you were expecting triplets?
Oh, you saw my post on Facebook.
I did. Yeah. I also, though, remember where I was, where I worked.
Yeah.
I was in Ofsted at the time.
You were working for Ofsted?
I was working for Ofsted. Data handling, so I was just literally...
And since you've worked there, it's all gone downhill, hasn't it? It's all gone downhill in the old Ofsted. 12 years ago today was when we went for our first scan, when we found out we were expecting. I don't know if I've ever told the story on the podcast, have I?
You've mentioned the triplets a lot. So I would say, yeah.
So we went along with Callum, who was 6, 7 at the time, because we wanted him to feel included in this next journey of our family. And we go to the scan, and Claire's lay on her back. The midwife starts to scan her stomach. And all of a sudden, this concerned look comes over her face and she moves the scan screen away from us so we couldn't see it. And she's like looking intently at the scan screen. So straight away, you start to panic thinking, oh God, what's wrong? What's good? And then she just turned around and said, have you been having any fertility treatment? To which we said, no. And then she just held 3 fingers up. And then that was it. So I burst into laughter. Callum was confused and Claire just burst into tears because obviously she'd been through it with Callum. She knew the complete ins and outs. To me, it was all new. I didn't know that we'd need 3 car seats. We'd need 3 load of nappies. We'd need a bigger car.
Is that, I never knew that. So the nurse, what is it?
Midwife
put 3 fingers up.
Yeah, yeah.
She's stealing your foreplay moves.
It's like,
I thought when she said, have you been having any fertility treatment? You went, they don't call me the loaded gun for nothing.
Well, I didn't know about that until obviously.
You were starting to get, though. I always remember we were in the car, me, you, Dad, and you said about, like, you know, oh, it's not happening. And then we were like, oh, don't worry about it. And then I remember you being a little bit, you know, a little bit worried that, you know, you might not have the Phelps swimmers, and then obviously that came. I couldn't believe it. I was sat there scanning some documents
wrongly.
And then got the call and said that, you know, they're expecting triplets. I was just like laughing. I was like, as if that tiny touch is loaded.
I always describe it as that little gun in Men in Black. You know, Will Smith goes into the room and he picks up all those massive guns. And it turns out the most lethal one is the tiniest.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But yeah, so that was a nice little reminisce looking at the scan picture where you can see all 3 of them and Charlie's a little prawn at the bottom. But anyway, yeah, it's that sort of weird lull at the minute, isn't it? In the middle of November, we've gone through bonfire night, all that's done. It's sort of, is it can we start discussing Christmas? Can we? I know there's plenty of schools will be starting the nativity.
Yeah.
That's already in the wheels are in motion.
Yeah. The donkeys are strolling.
Yeah. You've slowly cast it. Surely. You've handed out your scripts. It's close to start practicing. And I love it, me. I think it's the best part.
Yeah,
of the year.
I'm a massive, obviously mum nicknamed me Buddy the Elf. I'm a massive Christmas fan. Love it. Still a big kid at
heart. Mr. Poppy more like.
Well, yeah, I've had that a couple of times. Someone said it as well, didn't they? Someone commented saying, is it just me? Or does even Mr. P remind you of Mr. Poppy? And it's scary how much I have received that. But yeah, so I like it. But then because I really want it to be festive, I feel like it's better when everyone's singing from the same Christmas hymn sheet.
Yeah.
And I feel like, you know, I went to Blackpool at the weekend. It was hammered.
Was it?
Oh, it was sickly hammered. Like,
really?
It was horrible. The scenes. And then on the way back when we were driving through the illuminations, I put Bublé on, a bit of Christmas. Yeah. And I was feeling it. I was feeling the vibes. But then you get home and there's no decks up and it's all busy still and it's all a bit crazy. And like you said, it's that tough point where even in schools, like you're trying to get the main stuff done because you know how hectic, you know, in a
December
few weeks
becomes.
It's
and you know that by December, that's all the kids are bothered about is Christmas.
Oh, you can't get quality work out.
No. No point,
some
is there?
Quality colouring.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Some great crafts. Some great arts and crafts. Yeah. They're in the calendar.
Oh, the calendar.
The little cat, yeah. It's all
nowhere else do you get those tiny little calendars.
I know. But weirdly, this year, not only have we got Christmas on the horizon, we're just a week away from the World Cup, ladies and gentlemen, which I don't know about you, but just is such a weird feeling that we're less than a week away. It starts on Sunday, doesn't
it? Yeah, I think it starts on Sunday. I think it was very strange. Obviously, Premier League games were being played on Sunday afternoon.
Yeah.
And literally, England's first game was like a week tomorrow, a week the next day. It is really, really surreal and strange.
Now, obviously, there's a lot of controversy around the World Cup being held in Qatar. And, I don't agree with it. I think it's ridiculous, but that's FIFA all over. But let's separate that. Let's just leave that to one side. And, you know, the question is it coming home?
Well, the term "it's coming home" angers every other nation. So I'd like to say publicly on this podcast, I'd like to take this opportunity to say it's coming. No,
because the final, like if England get to the final, this is what's going to be interesting. If England get to the final of the World Cup final is on the 18th of December.
Mm-hmm.
So most schools are going to be having their Christmas do, I'd say that weekend. So possibly the 17th or 16th. When do you break up? We break up on the 16th, I think.
I'm not sure, to be honest. I don't know how to
so
know that.
We break up on the 16th. And so you're having your Christmas do. Now, imagine England get to the World Cup final. You're going on a night out where, yes, there's going to be All I Want for Christmas is You. Yes, there's going to be Band-Aid. And yes, there's going to be Fairy Tale in New York. But mixed in is going to be Three Lions.
Big time.
World in Motion.
Vindaloo.
And Vindaloo.
Vindaloo.
It's going to be a Christmas do. That's if we get there, that is.
I mean, we've touched upon this at the podcast before. I am a die-hard England football fan. Not like the horrible kind, but like one that... It's always meant a lot to
Very
me.
Very patriotic.
Yeah, to me and my dad. I don't miss a game with my dad. Obviously, we all get together, don't we, round the big tourneys. But me and my old man, you know, we will sit there in our England tops to watch San Marino away. We are like every friendly, every game we will watch to support. And yeah, like, you know, echoing what you said there, it's a joke that it's in Qatar. It's a joke that it's around this time. But at the end of the day, like you said, you've got to just separate that. It's happening, so there's not really much we can do. It's not the footballers' actual fault. The countries who are participating, they've played, we've worked hard to qualify. So at the end of the day, I'm strictly a football fan, even though obviously the what happens in Qatar, the way it was done and their laws and things like that, obviously don't agree with absolute joke shops. But focusing on the actual World Cup, I was doing a bit of sport in the hall for Golden Time, and I just thought, you know, I was blasting some tunes Friday afternoon, and I just thought, I'm just going to slide one in there just to see what the reaction was.
Yeah.
And I put Vindaloo on. And it just went huge, followed by Sweet Caroline, which course, went even yeah,
Sweet
bigger.
Sweet Caroline. Now, obviously, England's first game is next Monday during school hours.
Yeah, 1 o'clock
so
kickoff.
So the big question is, on everyone's lips, well, I've seen a few mixed messages. Some schools are saying, yeah, we're going to put it on. Other schools are saying, no, we're not. So I think if you're a school that's not allowing your pupils to watch the game, what are you playing at? It never happens. Just do it. I mean, sacrifice one afternoon to let your school come together and watch England. But who are they playing?
Iran.
Iran. So if you are, what we thought we'd try and do is help you here, guys. So if you are at a school where it's already been said because, ooh, you've got Ofsted on the horizon, whatever it might be, we can't give up an afternoon to let children have a bit of fun. What I thought I'd do is I'd pass it over to the you know, the diehard England fan to my left, who is going to have 30 seconds. We're going to have 30 seconds on the clock. Is 30 seconds enough time, Adam?
I'd say so, yeah.
Who is going to argue the case for why your school should allow your pupils to watch the England game on Monday, right?
Okay.
You ready?
Yeah.
30 seconds starting from now.
Listen, the game has to be on. It's a 1 o'clock kickoff on Monday against Iran. First World Cup game. The England boys are there representing. We've had a great couple of last tournaments. And your children will want to watch it. Their families will be watching it. Your children need to watch it. It is part of their growing up. It's memories. You are a teacher. You are a member of school staff to, yes, educate these children, make them better people. But you're also there to make...
Carry on.
You're also there to help them make memories. And I'll tell you, going back to my school days, France 98, Euro 96, Korea, Japan... 2002. I remember being in the hall with all my friends watching the game. And now, if you've got children in your school, which you will have, that are not interested in the football, that's absolutely fine. Have some lovely activities for them to do, which will make them happy. But everybody else, people, there's children I know for a fact who want to watch the game. And whether it's just a bit of a, you know, their parents are passionate about it and they're just trying to kind of tag along, it doesn't matter. It's a chance to bring the whole school together to have a fun afternoon. And I'll tell you what else as well, the last point I'll make.
Go on.
Is the last couple of years have been grim. The height of grimness. And if this is just a small 90 minutes where you can have a bit of a laugh, watch the game, support your team, cheer on the goals, Harry Kane, bang! Then just take it. Life's too short. If this time, the past few years has taught you anything, that life's short and people, we need to make memories. We need to do things that matter. Now, listen, fronted adverbials can wait. The three lions cannot. Come on, England. That was unplanned. Back me up. You put me on the spot there.
Fronted adverbials can wait. The three lions can't. I will just throw my 2p worth in. Chances are, if you say to parents you're not going to watch it, your attendance is going to bomb.
Yeah.
Because you know there's going to be loads of kids who'll be like, I'm watching it from home. Mm-hmm. Secondly, you can actually turn it and make it educational. There's no, you know, I've just put a World Cup topic page on my website that has loads of ideas for how kids can record commentary over the highlights, can do post-match interviews with the players, can do all these creative computing ideas to take that game and make it into something. There's the Sports Manager Pack, the Read, Write, Perform Sports Manager Pack, where the children write and then perform their own halftime team talk, just like Adam's just done there. So, you know, there's no excuse for why you can't make it educational. Like Adam said, it's been a rough couple of years. Why not use it as an excuse to bring everyone together? So hopefully you can play that little snippet there. just, you know, send it over to your SLT if they've been a bit, oh no, we can't watch it. And then that will hopefully convince you to, well, hopefully convince them to let you watch it. And if not, you're probably on capabilities. You might be called in for a word. Disciplinary.
I put myself as a child in school, and obviously I loved going to school. I enjoyed being there. If I know that England are playing at 1 o'clock and then I'm sat there, you know, having to do geography or something like that, I'd be fuming. I'd be absolutely gutted, and I'd be gutted, yeah. And I'd be annoyed the fact that we weren't able to watch it. So
I always remember, was it Was it France 98? Might have been. There was a game that was on during the day and I was in secondary school, right? Mm. And I had maths, but at the time...
It was so England-Tunisia.
England-Tunisia it was, yeah. Right?
Paul Scholes.
Yeah. And so...
A double.
Yeah. So so do you remember, obviously, back in the day, you could get the Argos catalogue. Mm. And within electronics, you didn't have, iPhones back then, but you could get portable TVs.
We
had a portable TV,
yeah.
And it was absolutely garbage. You could never get a signal. It was like a little radio antenna.
Yeah, yeah.
And you could sort of search through and just about get a signal. I remember I took that in and then I was like, sir, can I go toilet? Making it out like I had the Brads. And it was like, yeah, it was Wingate. So it's like, Wingate had drawn the perfect circle, which reminded me that the game was on because he drew the perfect football.
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, I need to go. And then I took the portable telly and then just watched a bit of it in the toilet.
But it's going back to like 2016. Now, obviously, Euro 2016 was not a great tournament for England. Crashed out to Iceland, if you remember. I was actually in hospital at the time. But before that, we had a group game against Wales, which kicked off at 2 o'clock. And I begged and pleaded with my former school's SLT, like, come on, you know, the kids have got to watch it. And we went 1-0 down to a Gareth Bale free kick. And then we equalised. I think Vardy equalised in like the 85th minute.
Yeah.
And everyone, the whole hall was up.
Yeah.
And then suddenly the ball ricocheted through. Daniel Sturridge knocks it away. The scenes. So, I'm getting goosebumps thinking about it. The scenes.
I'll tell you a story about that, right? So that was the year, 2016, when we wrote the Sports Manager Read, Write, Perform pack. And I'd done it with my class of year fives. And they'd made this green screen video. And we'd put it on our school Facebook page. And before the tournament, the England football team commented on it. So the official England football team had commented on it on Facebook. Which meant that like Northwest Tonight came in and interviewed the kids and all that. Then in that game, we watched it in the hall and we got that last gasp minute winner. Yeah. It was last minute and the same thing, the whole sort of room erupted. And one of the lads, as we were dismissing all the children at the end of the day, sort of walked past me, chest back or sort of shoulders back, chest out. And he just looked at me and went, that was our video that. Like that was what made them win the game.
His memory.
But here's the thing, bumped into him recently. He's like 16, 17 now. And he said, he went, are you going to send our video to England again? And I was like, well, yeah, I might do. So talk about creating memories. We're talking 6-7 years in and it's still there. But it's just reminding me as well, talking about skiving lessons to watch 1998. 2002, so I'm in sixth form at this point.
Yeah.
The Brazil-England game was like an 8 o'clock kickoff.
Yeah, it was early. I watched it at home with Dad. He dropped us off.
Oh, well, I went to the pub in Altrincham near school. And the idea was we were going to watch it. And so I'm in a pub in my school uniform watching it. And then once the game
finished... Three Carvery dinners.
Yeah.
3 pints.
give him a fake ID in.
Yeah.
Oh, bloody Mac.
You have to serve us a cider if we order a meal.
And so we lost that game. And then we just turned around. There was a group of us and we're like, oh, should we even bother going into school?
Yeah.
And that was the only day I skived. And we went to Riley's and played pool all day.
Nice. Obviously, don't do that.
Yeah. Well, that's what's going to happen if you don't let your pupils watch
Just embrace it. Like we said, it's... You know, times are tough, and if, at the end of the day, you throw BBC iPlayer or ITV player, whichever one it's on, I don't actually know that.
Yeah.
You know, just have a bit of fun with it. Like Lee said, make it educational, but just enjoy it. Give the kids something. If England score and you're in your class with your class or with the kids and you're celebrating all together, when it comes to the end of the year and you say, what have your favourite bits of this year been? I guarantee it'll be like, oh, you know... When Harry Kane scored his hat-trick goal and, definitely.
Now, but what if we lose?
Well, I was going to say this. We're giving this big in. I'd be sat there learning my fronted adverbials if it's a round 2-0.
Yeah. Talking of that, we, obviously, the Lionesses, not the Lionesses, the Red Roses, the England's women's rugby, they got to the final, didn't they? And that was like a 6:30 kickoff. So they did a big sort of do at the rugby club. And the kids were desperate to go, so I had to get up at like 6 o'clock in the morning to go. And don't get me wrong, absolutely phenomenal game. But I don't know if anyone spotted one of my sons in the, because they brought BBC Breakfast. So BBC Breakfast, the live broadcasting from the rugby club as the women's manager at the team manager is getting interviewed. And all you can see in the background is my Harry messing around, just being a complete and utter prat. And you can just see me sort of like smiling, but at the same time under my breath going, Harry, stuff it. Stuff it now, Harry.
Yeah, you don't want that to be your kid. Yeah. And it just was so yours.
I was so tempted to just come behind him, put my hand over his mouth and just smother him away.
I bet you were like, one out of three ain't bad.
So talking of the English, here's a post I saw, which if you are eating or about to eat, you might want to turn away. What's the weirdest thing you've seen on a full English?
Oh, a full English.
Like the weirdest thing. Because we've surely talked about what's your favourite thing on a full English. Have we talked about that?
I don't know.
What's your favourite thing on a fry up?
Mine?
Yeah.
Bacon.
Might be hash brown for me.
Yeah, I like hash brown. Bacon.
Bacon. Yeah. Bacon over sausage.
I think sausages. I think bacon, you can't really go wrong with bacon, even if it's like slightly overdone. But like sausages, if they're overdone, they're not great. I think there's worse sausages in the world than worse bacon.
Right. So I tell you
your head's deep, man.
Yeah, I tell you what I can't not have on a full English as well.
Mushrooms.
No, beans. Baked beans.
See, my wife's not a beansman.
No. I worked for an American company and my boss once ordered a full English and a bowl of porridge. And then poured the porridge over the fry up.
Oh, no. No, no, no.
Christmas morning at a hotel in Tenerife, they served up Brussels sprouts on the buffet next to the tomatoes and baked beans.
Don't mind that.
What, sprouts on
Listen,
fry up?
It's around Christmas, isn't it?
It doesn't matter.
Listen.
Oh, my word.
They were clearly just sprouting ideas, and then they thought, right, Brussels will do.
Not weird in South Africa, but we put fried bananas with our fry-up. Maybe
banana.
As a side dish.
Yeah, but are you talking like deep-fried? Like you know, like...
Well, fried banana, like dried bananas, I'd say.
No. Dried fruit like that. They make your tongue dead dry.
Lettuce on a fry up once.
No, that's a negative.
That's a negative. Not a fry up, but I once had pizza with black pudding on instead of pepperoni.
Don't mind that.
No.
Don't mind that.
No chance.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I like it.
Absolutely.
Give
no
me a
chance.
Pizza with black pudding, pineapple.
Someone's put beans in a separate bowl. WTF is that about? It all goes in the same hole.
No, I agree with that. I think beans can be overpowering on a full English. And I think if you get the really kind of juicy, watery beans, I think when the beans come in a little separate, little like egg cup,
yeah,
I'm all in favour of that.
What would be the worst thing to go on a fry up for you then?
Salad.
Someone's put salad there.
Yeah, salad. I would say, I don't know, like vegan bacon. Nah. To be fair, I've had vegan bacon. It tastes like frazzles.
Yeah, it does, actually.
Yeah, it does.
I'd say the worst thing that for me that could go on a fry-up would be any sort of seafood. Like, you'd never...
I don't know why you would do that. That's just a strange thing to do.
Yeah, but someone...
Well, like anything.
Someone put porridge over the fry-up.
Yeah, that's really weird. that's really weird.
That'd be the worst thing.
I'm trying to think, what do I really not like?
Like salmon on a fry-up. You won't have salmon on a fry-up.
No, saying that, though, like the salmon that you normally get, like the... Oh, like, what's it called? Like, when it said thin pieces of salmon? Like, not like a big fillet, but it's like a thin...
Yeah, salmon slices.
I don't think they're called salmon slices. But anyway, I had those in a holiday all the time.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think, what do I really not like? See, this is the problem. This is why I'm the size I am. Can't even think of...
All goes in the same hole.
I can't even think of anything that I don't like.
Yeah.
Like, I don't really like porridge, to be fair.
No.
What don't I like? Like, surely you must know something that I don't like.
Casserole.
Yeah, maybe
if you come home from a long day at work.
Oh.
Long day of school. Right, so that's the question, right? You come home from a long... You've had the worst day. It's been wet play all day.
Yeah.
You went to school, it's dark. You've come home, it's dark.
Yeah.
You've had issues, behaviour issues. You are drained. You are tired beyond belief, right? You get into the house and you say, you know, what's for tea?
Yeah.
Darling?
Yeah.
What's the worst possible answer to that question?
Stew. I'm not a stewsman. The only thing that saves a stew is dumplings. But
yeah,
I'm not, honestly, I am not, because it's the veg in there and then the meat is all over the place in it. No.
What? So yeah, like I still eat it, but it's just not a bit of me.
No, it just doesn't fill me either. And I, no.
What would be the best thing?
What, walking into?
Yeah.
If I walked...
But it can't be a takeaway. It's got to be a home-cooked meal.
Okay, if I walked in and out... Do you remember Dad?
Obviously. Oh, yeah. Wait, hang on. That big guy.
He's still here.
Yeah.
We used to come home. Like, I remember coming home from one of my early days at my first school, and I had had a bit of a, you know, a bit of a shocking day, and it was the first time I was a bit like, oh, my God, that was well hard. And I walked in, and I said to Dad, like, what's for tea? I was like 24 at the time, and I was like, "What's for tea?" And he was just like, "I'll do you a club sandwich if you want." And I was like, "Oh my,
that was a
club sandwich.
It's, yeah,
chicken, bacon, lettuce, tomato,
three pieces of bread, layered bread. Yeah, that was class.
Fantastic. Right
now, I met up with a couple of lads that I used to teach with over the weekend. I've not seen them for ages, and one of them had been quite poorly. And so
he all right now?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, good.
Yeah, he's made a full recovery. But yeah, so we've not seen each other for ages. And before things get hectic around Christmas, we went out and had a couple of beers. Although we went into Urmston, went in the Steam House.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's straight for Madry.
Madry, yeah.
And then as soon as I stepped foot in the Steam House, half my year four class were there. All there with the dads.
Oh, no.
Because we'd gone to see Trafford play footy or something. So they're all like, Mr. P! Like,
oh, no.
Just the worst possible thing you want to see on a...
Three coffee dinners.
Yeah.
3 pints.
But we were, as we were having it, we were like reminiscing on some of the funny stories. And this got... reminded of this one. So Kev was reminding me that we had a visitor in for... an author visit. Now, I love author visits. They're brilliant. And if you get a really good author, it can be really inspiring. The children absolutely love it. It's great. And then you always have a Q&A at the end.
Yeah.
Any visitor that you get, you always have a Q&A at the end, don't you? And normally, you know, usually the children will ask relevant questions. Who inspired you? What was your favourite book? And then Kevin, do you remember when? Name the kid. And just reminding me of this kid made me laugh. And he goes, do you remember what he said to that author that time? I was like, oh, what was it? He went, so they're going around asking questions. And then he put his hand up and he went, yeah, go on. And he just went, how much money do you take when you go on holiday?
We
were just laughing. So I like challenge people to tell me what's the funniest and most random question a child has asked when you've had a visitor. So not necessarily to you as a teacher, but when you've got a visitor, you're trying to make a good impression. So here are a few. Whilst in reception class, we had a visit from an RAC man who was also a parent. He asked the class what would their parents do if they broke down in a car. One child said, phone the AA.
Brilliant.
During a careers week, when different professions came in to speak to the kids, we had a paramedic bring an ambulance to the school. He let them walk through and showed them the lights and the sirens. At the end, when he asked, do you have any questions? One of my year threes shot his hand up straight and said, do you like tigers?
fair question. Brilliant.
Mid-math lesson year one, child raises his hand and says, who would win in a fight between a giant scorpion and a shark? The visitor was someone from a local authority as part of my NQT assessment.
What was the answer?
Not a question, but we had a kid who thought Ofsted were royalty. So he went up to the inspector, curtsied and said, Your Majesty.
That's like mind games, isn't it? That's like absolute reverse psychology. Love it.
Army veteran came in to talk about his experiences in wartime, bombing and being captured by the enemy. One kid asked, "Did you survive?" Had a vet in to visit year one children. Child asked, "Can you hop?"
Love it. These are brilliant.
Meeting their new head teacher, one of my children asked, "What's your favourite pillow?" We had a fire officer in, giving a safety talk for bonfire night to my P2 class. At the end of his talk, he asked if anyone had any questions, to which one of my brighter children asked, "Are you a Catholic?" Obviously, been paying attention to the origins of the Great Fire of London, the bloody bonfire night. We went on a school trip to a gymnastics centre and a staff member gave a safety briefing to the children. Once he finished, he asked if anyone had any questions. And one child raised their hand and said, "What's 100 times 90?
Oh, that's great.
One of my year ones asked the visiting local MP if he was Father Christmas. We had a refuse collector to talk to year two. Refuse collector. Bin man.
I think so.
We had a bin man come in and talk to year two. Excellent talk. Oh, I thought it'd been trash.
Oh, that was a rubbish joke.
I am having that one. Right, we had a refuse collector in to talk to year two. Excellent talk. First question, are you happily married?
Great.
So, asked an Olympic gymnast, have you ever seen a gorilla with one eye?
Yes. This is why working with kids is great.
Just the randomness is what's good. We had our local MP visit, a man called Alberto Costa. First question, do you like a cappuccino? Trolled.
Trolled.
We had a local fire brigade in delivering a session to year four on fire safety. At the end, the children were given the opportunity to ask questions, so one of my lovelies asked, why do you not have any hair?
The way that they would have asked it as well, just like hand up, like, you know, when kids get out of the seat, putting the hand up, and then you're just like, yes, go on. And it's like, why do you not have any hair?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Children asking our new head teacher about her favourite food, whether she has pets. My year five child, what's your favourite type of coat? In fact, what is your favourite type of coat?
Mine?
Yeah.
Well, I've actually got a new coat.
Have you?
Yeah, like it's an LA Lakers, like, longer, thicker jacket. It's really nice. But I just like a rainproof thin one. I'm a Jürgen Thinsman when it comes to coats. I get too hot. I've got too much skin.
I do. Yeah, it takes a lot for me to feel cold. Would you like to see my abs? Asked to a lead inspector. What'd you do if he pulled out the lead singer of Five? Get on up when you're down.
That's just the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. What would you do? I'd be like, where's abs been the whole time? Now everybody's moving. Everybody's grooving.
One child asked the visitor, where do you keep your tea bags? And the last one for now is one child asked the visiting MP, are you in the closet? He meant cabinet.
Oh, they are great. Right. I've got a couple of tales to show you. These are just, like we've always said, get on the website, upload your stories. If not, you can message the Two Mr. P's group on Facebook, or you can put it in the group, or follow the Two Mr. P's in the podcast Facebook page. You can message through that, or obviously you can get us on both on TikTok and Instagram at Two Mr. P's podcast. And I've got a few here. This one is fantastic. Right. This one is crazy. You can you can imagine what this would have been like, right? So I was being observed in a maths lesson. A fly was causing mayhem, as you well know. Nightmare.
I know, but you can deal with a fly, though, can't you? Because well, no one's getting hurt by a fly.
No. I calmly opened the window, escorted the fly straight out. I was very chuffed with my handling of the situation and the cooperation of the fly.
3 team points, fly. Star of the week.
Get ready.
And this week's star of the week, fly.
come on, accept it. Get ready though. Fast forward 5 minutes. A pigeon flew right into my classroom through the window I'd left open to get rid of the pesky fly, sending the kids into a frenzy, resulting in a postponement of my observation and an evacuation of the classroom.
So the fly got the certificate, star of the week, and the pigeon phone call home.
Detention.
Phone call home.
Okay, here we go. Our split year 1-2 class went on a school trip to our city centre last year. Our topic was seaside and the city. And we let the kids do their own risk assessment. One question.
You lazy. What is that about?
Hey, one question was.
There's no, as adults, I can't navigate, evolve, whatever it's called.
Here we go. This is great. This is great. One question was. If you get lost in the high street, what do you do? Hand went up and someone said, go into a shop. Teacher said, perfect. Who do we know is safe to talk to in a shop? A kid said, someone behind the tills. Again, the teacher said, perfect.
What if it's self-service?
What?
Just saying.
I don't recognize this child. Yeah.
Unexpected item in the bagging area.
Again, the teacher said, perfect. What should we say to the person behind the till? A boy's hand was instantly in the air saying, I know. So the teacher said, go on, can I get ice cream, please? On the risk assessment. This one's a little bit cheeky. My husband worked in a school in London. The drama teacher there was about 68 years of age and ready to retire. He walked into the drama studio one day to find there was a teenage boy and girl semi-clothed having sex. He didn't interrupt them, but went straight to the head teacher to say he was retiring with immediate effect.
How old was he?
68.
Oh, 1 year older and he could have joined in.
Hey,
it's on fire.
That's good. Fair play to you.
Yeah. I mean, maybe they were just in role. Maybe they were just... It's like that Friends episode, though, innit? I mean, did it look real? If there's no chemistry on stage, they do it. You remember that one with Chandler and his... Don't remember the episode where Chandler was going out with that actress who was with Joey for a while and then they were together and then she has to have... perform just have sex in the show and then it's like if it loses the hot on stage
fair play I bet he was just a bit of jealousy there as well, wasn't it? 68 he's
just looking for any excuse to retire there, isn't he? Just like, oh god's sake. I mean, I'm not being funny, there's no way I can carry on teaching until I'm 68.
68? God, they'd run rings around you, wouldn't
they? Oh, they would. You'd be nowhere.
Whereas that drama really teacher, they'll lick rings around him. Right, here we go. My last one. And this is fantastic. We had a bit of time before lunch, so I read a story to the class. We chose The Great Dog's Bottom Swap, where the dogs hang up their bums and then accidentally take the wrong ones home at the end. A classic, I promise. I'll be checking that out. Anyway.
Was that not the... was that not what the students in the drama class were performing, the stage production of?
Swapping bottoms. Anyway, home time came. And as one little boy is walking to his mum, he turns around to me and shouts in front of every other parent, "Don't worry, miss, I've got the right bum hole." His mum looked confused. Even when I stammered out an explanation, I wanted the ground to swallow me up. That is. Oh, that is fantastic.
Oh, beautiful.
But before we move on, sorry, I did forget. Got some questions.
Right.
Got some questions. So, first one. Are we ready?
Yeah.
What is your favourite smell?
Ooh. Have you ever smelt the aftershave Creed?
Yes.
That's a nice smell. I love the smell. My favourite smell was always the triplets when they were babies.
I was going to say babies.
Yeah.
Even though just saying that sounds a bit weird,
but
doesn't
no,
it?
Yeah.
And
what's
I would
yours?
I like Kellogg's.
Kellogg's what?
We have the factory near us.
Oh, yeah, so like driving past.
The mornings.
Do you know what? Actually, the smell of like freshly baked bread is well nice.
Ooh, yeah.
So like, you know, if you go to a supermarket and they've just brought some bread out, that's a nice smell. Right, go on then.
What's the biggest lie you have ever told? That's good.
Probably
on the spot here.
No, Adam, that's really funny.
You are enough, Adam.
it's probably the biggest lie. It's probably Christmas, isn't it?
Oh. No spoilers. So if you're listening with your children.
I'm not saying what lie I tell at Christmas, but it's probably that, innit?
Biggest lie I've ever told.
You're owning a yacht?
Yeah, owning a yacht was a bad one. That was a real bad one for me. A low point. I don't know. I used to lie a lot. I think I remember me and my friend went out, good old Charlie, and we basically... the funniest one was when I pretended to be that guy's agent.
I
turned this Brummy into a American music star. And to chat up these girls years ago, I pretended to be his agent and I named him Chad Dawson. And I was going like, "Hey girls, you heard of Chad Dawson? Like, just brought him over from the States. Like, he's going to be the next Bieber." And then they were eating it up. And then I made sure I said to Chad, "Whatever you do, don't speak. Just don't speak," because he was a good looking boy. And then they were going, "Can we meet him?" And I was a bit like, "Let me get back to you." So I went, yeah, no worries. And I thought, I was literally looking at Cy, his name was, but I was looking at Chad and I was going like, don't you dare speak. And literally, the drinks were flowing. It was all good. He came over and then they were like, "So like, who's your inspiration?" He was just like, "I really like Elton John." And I was like, "Oh man." They were just like, "He's American." And then the last one, I would say... what's the funniest thing you've ever seen in another person's house?
Oh, that's a tough one. Nothing's coming to mind. Wow, what would yours be?
Well, I've been to Cockney John's a few times. I'll tell you what, Cockney. I don't want to do Cockney John over here, right? But
I'm gonna.
He's got some weird.
Here's the biggest lie I'm gonna tell.
He's got some weird stuff, man. I don't think it's the way. But I remember he keeps McFlurries in his freezer.
What, like forgets to eat them?
But you know, like McFlurries, when you leave them for a while, they get foamy.
Furry.
Yeah, furry, McFurries. And then there was that, and then there was also, I remember he'd not been to, bless him, his mum was poorly a couple of years ago, and he'd not been to his house in ages. Once his mum got better, he invited me round to just have a drink and a catch up or whatever. And I went round, and all my drinks were in my bag, but they weren't cold. So I said to him, like, "Oh, am I okay putting my drinks in the freezer?" He was like, "Yeah, bruv, no worries." I went over to the freezer, and I put my fingers through that, like, freezer door. And pulled them out, and honestly, It looked like Octopus Inc. I was like, oh, you know, is it Ross in Friends where he's in that woman's house and he just like puts his hand when he's wearing the leather pants? I was just like, is it the way he's wearing the leather pants?
Or, no, it's not leather pants.
No, it's where that really nice looking girl who's a mess. Oh, it was, and I just said to Cockney John, I was like, mate, I cannot go near that freezer door. And he was just like, bruv, it's natural. It's just natural, bruv. I was like, natural mold minging.
I don't think I've seen anything weird.
Do you not remember when Ryan's mates went to one of Ryan's mates' house and found one of his mum's toys? And then I think the mum found it in the dog bowl the next morning.
Right, I have got some injuries. Do you want some injuries?
Oh yeah, we'll have some injuries.
I've got some injuries and I've got some O's as well. Or should we do it the O's? Have I done that? I don't know if I've shared some. If I've shared some of these, just tell me. We once had an NQT who was panicking because the planning said to use landscape paper and she could only find portrait.
Does it ring a bell?
Mine would have to be, and I laugh about it to this day, trying to hand out some lost property jumpers in front of a whole assembly. And the teacher said, oh, there's a name on it. Fruit of the Loom.
Oh, no. George, where are you? There's five for you here, George.
Well, someone later said, I worked in a school once where the head teacher held up a jumper in assembly and asked for Dorothy Perkins, come to collect.
That's great.
Our head, when berating a child in front of the whole school, once had this exchange. What are you doing? Child. I thought. Head. You don't come here to think. When sorting and classifying animals, my TA pipes up. Do camels have toes?
Why?
How often are we presenting the Lunch of the Month award? Is it every week? Mine was when the head teacher referred to the villain in James Bond as Blowjob. This one. Right. Working in Thailand, students have what would be considered unusual names. For instance, guitar, snack, etc. Anyhow, one day the drama teacher came into the computer room to say hi and sat in a student's seat. The kid came back with a new student. Hey, miss, this is her seat. Drama teacher. Hello, her seat. I'm your drama teacher. No, miss, this is her seat.
Hello, her seat. Trying to
I am your drama teacher. Now, that would make me retire.
Well, how are you? How long is her seat going to be new for?
A mum wanted a son to catch up on the spellings as he'd been off sick all week. The TA explained that in reception, they were learning words that end in ack, A-C-K, and then promptly wrote down back, sack and crack in a son's butt. Repeating the words out loud as she went.
Oh, God. Back, sack, and crack. Brilliant.
Just finish with this one before we go on to some injuries. My former TA once asked, where in Scotland is Wales?
Oh, man, I love stuff like that. That is brilliant.
Okay, right. So, some of these are unreal. So these are injuries now. Okay. At snack time, slipped on a banana skin and brought one of my pupils down with me. Luckily, the child was fine.
Imagine that, like slipping on a banana. I mean, come on, originality.
The only way that could get better is if you heard behind you like, "Ooh, Mario." this is brilliant. In Friday's Good Work Assembly, where parents are allowed to attend, I once leant forward to tap a child who was talking as they were ignoring my whispers to be quiet. As I did, My chair fully tipped over and and launched me into a painful and rather unsightly position, sprawled on the floor.
Downward dog.
Yeah. All eyes were now on me, as many of the people thought hilarious. The incident has even been used as a Year 6 leavers memory once again during the parents' assembly. Ooh.
It makes me laugh that something so innocent, like a child's talking to somebody, you just want to go in to tap him on the shoulder and suddenly...
No, it's the way you're going. Shh.
Shh. Will you... Bang! Bang! Oh, that's great.
Snap my Achilles tendon when... Snap.
That is such a brutal injury.
No, but listen why. Listen why. Snap my Achilles tendon in class when demonstrating how to be an unsuccessful bird watcher.
going into my knee. How did you do that injury? What legendary tale you got to tell? I don't know how that's... Why are you even talking about that? Why are you acting it out and how? How on this God green earth have you ruptured your Achilles tendon?
I took my class into assembly. One girl sat down at my heels. I didn't realise she was there until I started to step back. As I was falling, I remember thinking, I can't land on her. I'll kill her. I managed to manoeuvre myself over her, landed on the hall floor and fractured my coccyx. Fortunately, she lived to tell the tale.
Oh. Is that the same woman as last week? Coccyx. Too much of this stuff.
Sat on a child's desk. Pencil had just been sharpened.
No.
Lead tattoo on my bum.
Oh, no. That's tough. That's real tough.
Right. And this proves why those blue gym mats in school are not to be messed with. Freak accident. Teaching gymnastics barefoot, caught my little toe in the gym mat, broke it. It was strapped up at urgent care before the fracture team called me back a week later and said, it's dislocated. You're going to have it fused. Got the call for the second operation on the 22nd of December, discharged on Christmas Eve. Spent the next 6 weeks off school with a metal pin sticking out of it.
Just sat at home crying, this little piggy wanted to do gymnastics.
This little piggy wanted to do a tuck.
This little piggy's in A&E again.
About this one.
Wait, those blue gym mats, they're made of concrete.
I swear. Not just breaking your toe, having to dislocate it.
The way you said
it together.
They rang me a week later and they said, it's dislocated.
This one. I was plugging in a disco ball as a treat for my Year 6 class, only electrocuted myself and was ambulanced to hospital.
Do you remember the 23rd of September? Oh my God.
Just imagine that scene in Home Alone 2 where he's getting electrocuted.
Believe it or not, I've not had much experience with electrocutions, but the
neither have I, mate.
Do you remember those disco lights Mum and Dad used to have? Like, and they were like, they were two big bulbs and flash. I remember that I wanted that for my 16th birthday party when I was having a house party and they'd stopped working. So I had it plugged in and it stopped working. I took a screwdriver and unscrewed the back of it, didn't unplug it and just shoved my hand straight in just to fiddle with the wires. And I literally went, vroom, vroom, and I was like shaking. And I remember Dad coming in and I was just going like, and he was just like, is it still plugged in, you pillock? And I was just like, yeah, I think so, man.
I love it, the fact that I was plugging in a disco ball as a treat for my Year 6 class. Only electrocuted myself and I was ambulanced to hospital. The way it finishes, true dedication as a teacher. Poor Year 6 missed their disco.
Oh, bless him.
I kicked up my doorstop on my way out of the classroom and unknowingly pinned my maxi dress between the doorstop and the door. Started walking, door/dress pulled me down, broke my wrist, and since I was very visibly pregnant and landed on my belly, every high school kid in the hall lunchtime freaked out. I earned myself a trip to the OB floor of the hospital to be monitored. finished with Baby Was Fine.
Well, glad Baby Was Fine. I want to know what the OB floor is. Is that where you go with a with an arm injury and they put you in a leg cast?
Well, you go to the hospital and come out in Tesco's.
It's like that bit in Mike Bassett. What have you done? I think I've hurt my wrist. Okay, take your pants off. Yeah.
I got concussion after colliding with a child in my class while I was trying to get around her.
Oh, concussion. God almighty.
I get that because do you not find if you do rounders, so many of the kids just stand...
In between the bases.
Yeah.
Yeah, but do you play it's half a rounder for interference?
Oh, no, but yeah, I might have to now.
If you are stood in between bases as you're running,
yeah,
and you're blocking someone's run and they have to change their route, it's half a rounder.
Right.
Yeah, there you go.
I once bust my nose and knocked myself out, open the classroom...
Not opening the door.
I once bust my nose and knocked myself out, opening the classroom door into my own face.
I just see that thing. Waking up in the morning, oh, come on, get yourself in the zone. Getting showered, ready, driving to work. Morning, you okay? Whoopang! Oh, God.
Not only that, right? I also had to go to hospital, I was fine, for a checkup after falling over on the field while flying kites and landing on my heavily pregnant belly. I also got stuck under the laptop trolley, bruised and scraped my ankle and had to be rescued by some passing students.
Stuck under the laptop? Were they doing like an Ocean's 11? Where they tried to sneak someone in?
There are many, many more. Yeah, that's how clumsy I am.
Sounds it.
Well, water day at school. There were all sorts of paraphernalia strewn around this field. At the end of the day, and in my infinite wisdom, I decided I would sit on one of the large water balls. I was trying to deflate it by squeezing the tube with one hand and pushing down hard to quicken the deflating process. I was then shot off the ball with an almighty thud. One broken wrist later, and at the start of the summer holidays, spent most of it in the fracture outpatients. Never again.
Oh, man.
I was doing PE with my year six class when a child booted the football at my head, knocking me out. But get this. They'd done a first aid course the day before. They put me in the recovery position and were discussing if I needed chest compressions when I came round. That's great, that.
Yeah,
that shows that they're taking on board. Yeah.
I'd trust them to do a risk assessment for a trip.
When I first applied for teacher training, I was told I didn't have enough experience. That afternoon, the class that I was an LSA for had PE. I hadn't been part of PE before, so I took my chance to do so. 5 minutes in, slipped over and broke my arm, almost passing out from the pain. My wife's mum had to come and get me, like a child being picked up from the medical room.
Oh, imagine my wife's mum having to come and get me, coming out playing the bagpipes in the school field. I'd be like, oh, God, I don't know what's worse. Not my bones sticking out on these bloody bagpipes.
We had an after-school French skipping club. I was showing off doing...
Called Le Skipping.
I was showing off doing England, Ireland and so on. Landed badly on my knee. Gave way in front of the staff, parents and kids. Had to be helped to A&E. Soft tissue damage in my knee and thigh and crutches. My knee's never been the same and keeps popping out, causing immense pain. That was the end of my French skipping days.
Damn!
Sacré bleu!
Horrible! I wish I knew better French.
And shout out to Izzy Eve. Izzy Eve had the worst. Staple gun through the thumb half an hour before Ofsted arrived. Trooper that she is, she got to the hospital and back and was observed while high as a kite on painkillers.
I bet they were just like, thanks for having us. And then she just looked well high and then just put a thumb up with it covered in blood. Thanks for coming.
My friend got knocked out by a pupil's backswing in a hockey lesson and the pupil shouted, oh my God, we've killed me. Oh my God, you killed Kenny.
You legend.
This one's great. Knocked out by the Class of the Week trophy. I'd popped it up out of harm's way on the top of the support post for the whiteboard. Had to move board lower for a smaller child, dislodged the trophy. Next thing I know, I was lying on the floor hearing things like, is she dead? Mrs. Jennings dead? And two children on their way to the office for backup. Of course, a good half of the class made the most of the chance just to have a chat. Just waking up and you're like, shh. I had to jump up and carry on regardless, despite the stars circling my head in a cartoon style.
She's talking about the kids who got the trophy, or actually like cartoon stars.
What about this one? A child got their poo and my suede Ugg boots.
Not necessarily an injury, but
just somewhat
heartbroken.
Don't you poo on my suede Ugg boots. Oh, you can do anything, but don't poo on my suede Ugg boots.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I once absent-mindedly stuck my laptop charger cable in my mouth and got a hearty shock of my tongue in a staff meeting.
Anything to get out of there.
That's not the biggest sort of... Listen, I'm not saying this staff meeting's useful, but I'm about to kill myself by licking my laptop charger.
I'm a teacher boarding staff meeting. Welcome to Jackass.
I fell down the nursery steps when I was dressed as Chimp from Chimpanzee for World Book Day. I had a mask on and couldn't see very well. Teacher was Z.
Imagine that. Like, ooh, ooh. Ah!
Right, last couple. Right, my husband was dragging one of those old TV and VCR trolleys out of a cupboard while reassuring a student teacher that her observed lesson hadn't gone as quite as badly as she'd thought it had. When the door closed and tore off the top of his thumb, he picked up the tip, covered the exposed bone with his other hand, and calmly made his way to reception, blood splurting as he walked down the corridor, asking questions and saying hello to the students. Imagine that. Thumb sliced off. And the student teacher's like, but I just don't think they were behaving. Well, I'm sure.
Yeah. To be honest, I thought you were a lot better than you thought. I'd give you the thumbs up if I bloody could.
Oh. Caught a falling cactus in the entrance hall with both hands. Took forever to remove all the needles and my hands were throbbing all day.
Let it drop. I got it.
I had a chunk bitten out my boob, and at a different time a chunk out my arm, a broken nose from a punch to the face, and a cracked eye from a headbutt. Oh, that wasn't all in the same day.
I know, but read it again. It sounded like I thought it was like the 12 days of Christmas.
I had a chunk bitten out of my boob in a different time. Yeah. I'm going to finish on this one. I'm going to finish. Wait, I'll save that one. Right. Just tripped over nothing on the playground, fractured 7 bones in my face, and had to have facial reconstruction. Playgrounds are dangerous.
Jesus.
I'd say it was you. It was dangerous. Well, I hope you made a full... discovery. Whilst on playground duty and being... God, this was fun. I read this before. Whilst on playground duty and being lazy to walk across to put my rubbish in the bin, I decided to stick my arm through the fence where there was a bin on the other side, then couldn't get it back through for 25 minutes. I was stuck there, much to the amusement of our children and my work colleagues. One very bruised, swollen arm and pride completely shattered.
Oh, what? So what, their arm just got stuck?
Yeah. There's so many. I'll come back to these, but this one.
This is the last one?
Last one, right. And this is dedication to the job. Badly sprained index finger from overzealously pointing out missing capital letters and full stops.
Doing it, and then the kid's going, oh, sorry, miss, we'll try harder. Why are you so upset?
On a plus, my purple swollen banana finger was scary enough to remind every child of the perils of forgetting proper punctuation. This is what can happen.
Now that's what you call spag.
As always, guys, thank you so much for sharing those stories. They do give us a giggle, we hope we've given you a giggle as well. Thank you so much for listening. Really, really do appreciate it. As always, if you've got a funny story, you can head over to the website, tomrpspodcast.com, where you can share them anonymously, or you can just send them to us on Instagram. at To Mr. P's Podcast or at ICT Mr. underscore Mr. P. We'll be back next week. Yeah, we're not away or anything.
Come on, England!
Yeah, we'll see you on the other side after we've all enjoyed the first game next Monday. It's coming home.
Take care.